Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match build-up show. It's Liverpool versus Newcastle on Wednesday evening at Anfield. Steve here, delighted to say I'm joined by Dan and by Sam for this one. You'll have a little look ahead at Liverpool versus Newcastle. And Sam, mate, let's just get straight into it. I was saying, second game at Anfield on the spin. When we looked at the fixture list before the season, this was meant to be the middle of what was meant to be a pretty favourable run of fixtures for us. Didn't turn out that way. It took us till the weekend to get our act together, basically, and stuff Bournemouth. But it feels like now this could be one where you can get a bit of momentum. Like I say, Anfield, our record is, for the most part, impeccable. It does feel like this is a real opportunity for Liverpool to build on the back of a 9-0 by just, again, another 3 points against a good team, and we'll speak about it in a minute, one who are suffering a little bit with their own injury problems. It feels like this is an ideal opportunity for us.
Yeah, definitely. And I think playing Saturday, Wednesday is exactly what the lads would have probably wanted from the first game when we didn't win. The last thing you want when you don't get a result is to have to wait 7-8 days, in some cases 9, to play again. After that loss at Old Trafford, we would have wanted to play the next day to get that win, and we got that on Saturday. So the best thing now, especially with it rotating all the players we did and stuff like that, is to just literally get right back out there at Anfield under the lights and try and bash out another win and get, just like you say, get that momentum going again.
Yeah, and excuse me. I'm still on the road of recovery. I'm doing my best, so I do apologise for that one. Yeah, and that's the thing, is it, Dan? Is that also, it's like there's a bit of a feel-good factor now, and then I understand today, recently, and there's been reports about, yes, is the midfielder coming? No midfielder. I'm looking at the live chat now and everyone's on about it. But for the players and for the manager, that's kind of an aside. There's a feel-good factor. They should be full of confidence. Every one of them played well at the weekend. Even Mo Salah was laughing at his couple of sitters. But after, you know, they've been through the mill a little bit, and confidence would have been low. Performances levels weren't great. They had this clear the air talk, and they go and snot warm. It feels like, again, there is just a little bit of a feel-good factor for Liverpool at the moment. And again, you don't want to pop the balloon straight away after, you know, a joint record Premier League score, drop points at home. It's got to be something to build on. And like I say, that feel-good factor could be a big factor on Wednesday night.
Yeah, 100%. They've got to harness all that feel-good, haven't they? And then positive vibes that came out of it. And they've got to harness the atmosphere as well. I think being at home really doubles down on that momentum here, because we all know what Anfield can be like under lights, particularly after a big win like that. The whole ground should be bouncing going into that, especially after what has been a lacklustre start by our own standards, you know. So, massive opportunity for us, and it'd be nice in a way, even from a fan perspective, to have a game of footy as a distraction from all the midfielder chat, because we need a game of footy to break out, don't we, to sort of take our minds off the other stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a game of footy about to happen in the midst of transfers, almost like in Prada Place, which is never the case. The footy's always more important than the transfers. I agree we need a midfielder, but yeah, on Wednesday that doesn't matter. Liverpool are going to have to put a team out. Speaking of field goal factors though, Sam, I did a opposition preview, that's on YouTube now, by the way, if anyone wants to go back and watch or listen to that one, with Johnny from Newcastle Fans TV. And they've won one game and they've drawn three games, but he said there's never been a field factor as good as this around Newcastle for a long time. You're probably looking back towards, you know, to say Bobby Robson era before it's been this good. Basically, it never happened in the Mike Ashley era, essentially.
Yeah, no.
Because although, like I say, a win and three draws isn't amazing, they've had sort of a couple of difficult ties, including against Manchester City, and like I say, just the aura of knowing that they've got money and knowing that they can spend things. Newcastle are another team who are, they're on the bit of a crest of a wave. We're not facing the Newcastle, you know, downtrodden Newcastle, you just know are going to just wilt at the first sign of it. They ate the manager, you know, whether it was Steve Bruce or insert X Newcastle manager here. They are on a bit of a crest of a wave, and essentially they're coming to Liverpool with nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a free for them. Eddie Howe gets to go and do what he needs to do, and if they lose, I don't think it's going to, again, top up popping balloons.
Yeah.
I don't think their fans will be particularly arsed like that much, because things are going so well there, whereas in the past it was like, oh, here we go again, and they'd be on their backs. I don't think it's going to be that this week.
No, and I think a lot of that positivity probably comes from last season more than this season, if I'm being honest. I mean, they beat Forest at home. You'd expect them to win that game. But you know, the City result for them has probably, you know, given them the most positivity, because the other two draws, they're the kind of games where they would want to go and win to show their progression. So I suppose that City result give them that boost. Yeah. I do think, though, a lot of that positivity has come from last year. I think probably Newcastle thought that they were going to be buying all kinds of big names and stuff this summer. It hasn't quite happened yet. But they are a threat. They are a good side. But they do come to Anfield as massive underdogs. And, you know, it's down to us really to make sure we push on that and take what we can from that. I think, you know, as you're going to come into in a minute, things aren't all plain sailing for Newcastle at the moment. They've got their own issues to deal with as well. They were very lucky in the last game, weren't they, to get that sort of last minute worldie of an equaliser, by the way. My word, I hope he's injured. But he's but they are a good side. But you know what, it's the perfect step up from Bournemouth. We've like had to start again. It's like Anthony Joshua, you know, he's been knocked off his pace. He's got to go again, and we've got that Bournemouth win, which is one we expect to. Now the next step is go and take on a Newcastle, beat them and move up the table that way.
Yeah, it's almost like rebuilding yourselves. Go, basically start off at the worst opponent you can get.
Yeah.
With the manager with the worst card ever.
Journeyman.
Ex-manager.
You might have to sell that now again, if he's on the door. I'm sure Scotty's been well looked after. Scott Parker's been sacked. I've never seen a man in a press conference want to get sacked more. Everything he was saying, he was might as well have just said, sack me. He was just desperate for the payoff, and he's got it, so fair play. I don't think Eddie Howe's going to get sacked, even if Newcastle lose on Wednesday. But I want to, Sam referenced before the injuries, Dan, for Newcastle. We'll focus on Newcastle first. We'll talk about Liverpool a little bit later on. But I think a fully fit Newcastle would be exactly the wrong type of team that we'd want to play at this moment in time, because defensively pretty solid, very good goalkeeper who saves a lot of things. They would have pace on the break, and a striker in Callum Wilson when he's fully fit, who just, we know, scores goals. He scored goals against Liverpool. Having said that, it's worth noting Wilson's out, definitely. Bruno Guimaraes is out almost certainly. That's probably him done. Kieran Trippier, they think, this is from Premier Injuries, by the way. Apparently today, Eddie Howe said he should be fine, so Trippier's probably going to play. Alex Isaac, still, they don't even know if he can play yet. They've just signed him, and they're waiting for the registration. It could be up to, Eddie Howe mentioned, 75 minutes before kickoff when they find out. So even if he
is, not ideal,
that,
is it?
Yeah, that's not what he wants.
That's what he's like, yeah.
Say, maximum, Maxi is a worry for us at the moment with the hamstrings, what Eddie Howe said. It was late in the game off the back of a sprint. So that sounds a risk, and why would he risk him? And then Emil Crafty knows out. He did his ACL against Tranmere the other day. So basically, if you look at who are Newcastle's best players, Wilson, Bruno and Alan say maximum, they're probably three of the top five. Trippier and then insert whoever, maybe Joe Linton they love at the moment, or the goalie or whatever. They've got three of their best players unavailable or potentially unavailable. It gives me, I was thinking, even if they're like 50-60%, part of me thinking, why would Eddie Howe risk it? Why risk? Because you could play them and lose to Liverpool anyway. And I'll bring their list up in a minute, and I'll go through it. But it could be one where they just go, you know, why risk it? Well, if they're all out, let them just all be out, and we'll save it for another day. From a Liverpool point of view, that could be the case.
It's a massive boost, especially with St. Maximin being out, I think, like you say, because they've got a blueprint now about how to play against teams and be successful, like against City and Liverpool, because they don't have a lot of possession but hit you on the counter. And
give it to him and get time to run.
St. Maximin is the outlet for that, and without him, they don't really have an alternative. Like, not many teams in the league do, in all fairness. You know what I mean?
He's a freak, isn't he?
He's really one on his own, a bit like Adama Traore, but with end product, which is sort of an old reference to make, but it is true. It'd be a huge blow for Newcastle. Massive boost for Liverpool. if that is the case. And even like Bruno and the Trippier one's a shame because I think they'd have had to play Javi Manquillo at right back.
He would have, yeah.
And Luis Diaz against him would have been a joy to watch from our perspective, I think. But at the same time, there isn't really a better time to play Newcastle from our perspective. On the back of that 9-0, you're about to bring up their fixtures. I think Eddie Howe, he won't throw in the result because he's a manager with respect. He's not likely to do that. But you're right, he's not going to risk key players with winnable games around the corner because Liverpool, like you say, you could go there full strength, winning 10 games on the run, and we could still do them 4-5-0. Exactly, so why would they risk it?
And that's the thing, I'll bring up their fixtures now. So after they go to Liverpool, they've got Palace on Saturday, West Ham. So Palace are home on Saturday, West Ham away the following Sunday. Then they host Bournemouth. Then they go to Fulham. Then they host Brentford. So obviously there's an international break in between Bournemouth and Fulham. But essentially, if Alan St. Maximin's got a hamstring, why risk him at Anfield on a Wednesday? Save him for Palace at home on Saturday. Yeah. Because the last thing they want is him to start, pull up after half an hour, and then he misses all those games, which are very winnable. Like Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth, Fulham, Brentford is a run of games that Newcastle, you mentioned those games that they want to improve in, they're them.
Exactly.
Against the teams who they want to be better than this season. There's a lot of mid-table / lower table teams there. It just feels to me, like I say, Sam, like, why would you risk it? If I was Eddie, maybe I'm just talking this into existence because the thought of Alan St-Maximin does terrify me a little bit, I'll be honest. But again, that's my thing, is that why would he risk it?
No, 100%. All you've got to do is look at us. You know, we've lost Kelleher, Jota, and I don't know if there was any before Ox. We've lost three lads to big hamstring injuries that have all come from off the back of other injuries. Maybe Ox we're not sure on, but like they've strained further strains or previous strains, should I say, and now they've been out for like months. Why would you do that? You just rest them and move on. But you know, I guess it comes down to the player as well, because you know, having watched some of the sort of, you know, behind the scenes at the Arsenal and Tottenhams, it does seem to me like the players can say, oh yeah, I'm ready to go. So it depends on what he says as a player. But Anfield is that platform, isn't it, which is, you know, you don't want to miss that game. No. So I suppose, you know, it's about being sensible. But you know, even with Maximin, I still find us as big favourites in this game. So without him, it makes it a hell of a lot more difficult, and it's just mentally for them as well, isn't it, being able to think, are we going to beat this team when we haven't got our exciting outlet and our best midfielder?
It isn't even just, yeah, I was going to say, it is, you can talk about Maximin all you want, but like Bruno's a very good player for them. Callum Wilson, I think, is a really good striker. Like, I think
always scores against us as well.
He's got a good record against us. Like, they're two of the big, they're big misses. Newcastle are in the process of building themselves what looks like a good team and a good, trying to get themselves depth with a good squad. And listen, if we know Wilson's not going to play, and if I can't imagine Isaac starts now, because if they don't know now, there's no way they can game plan around it. So you're looking at like Chris Wood, he's a £25 million, essentially third choice striker now. So that's the era Newcastle are starting to live in, Dan. It's like, even with these injuries, you can't overlook them. They've still got a good team and a good manager and enough good players who can do similar to what Crystal Palace did. They can defend resolute and try and catch you somewhere. There's still a goal threat, whether it's Fraser, Almiron and Wood. They're not brilliant, don't get me wrong. They're a step below their usual options, but I mean, they're all players who've scored goals against Liverpool before, pretty much, you know.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And you were right earlier on. Newcastle are doing the right things, in my opinion. You've got to give them credit. Sam referenced the fact that people were getting a bit carried away with the Mbappe, Neymar and all that palaver. Realistically, that was never likely to happen. And they haven't even gone down the early Man City route of Fabinho and the like, have they? They've gone a much more sensible, structured way about it. And you've got to give them a lot of credit. This Isak deal is by far and away the most they've spent, isn't it? You know, and that just shows they are willing to spend when it's the right player. But yeah, they will pose a threat regardless. I think Eddie Howe's a very good manager, and I think he's proven that already in the early days there. And we shouldn't forget, from a Liverpool perspective, we've only just broken that conceding first horrible run that we've had, and we did it in style, of course, but we've actually conceded first twice to Newcastle at Anfield on the bounce now, because Willem scored that worldie a couple of years ago, and John Joe Shelby scored from long range to make it 1-0 to them last season. So getting the first goal once again, like it always is in any footy match really, could be pivotal here, because we go 1-0 down to this Newcastle side, you can bet your bottom dollar they'll be seriously behind the ball and seriously resolute then.
It's funny with Cam Wilson, because you mentioned it, and I fell into this trap of like, he always scores against us.
Bad record.
Guess how many he scored?
Go on.
One, two.
But he's but
he's never fit, so
that's the problem. He's always in and out. They're off a bomb as well. Yeah, you're right to say this. Like, last season we did beat them 3-1, and we'll talk about that later, because that's going to be part of the trivia question. But even in that game, Liverpool went back and steamrolled them. But that was a Newcastle, that was a different Newcastle. They were a little bit flaky still. It wasn't the exact same team, and I'm just going to go back and it was obviously Eddie Howe not long arrived. He was different sides. It feels like now, Sam, they're a bit like Palace. That if they got that first goal in this game, they would believe in themselves more that they can hold on to it, because they've gone toe to toe with City. They've done well under Howe recently. Again, in that game, it was a John Joe Shelby scored very early, and then Liverpool did come back. But again, we got out the habit against Bournemouth of being the team who concedes the first goal. Don't go back to it. You know what I mean? Like, because I think if you go 1-0 to this Newcastle side with that goalie and a very what can be a good back four, you could be in for a long night.
Yeah. I think it's interesting as well though, because that Newcastle, I look at our issues in two different ways. It's like everyone always says, oh, you know, Man City, you need to have a go at them, you need to get in the faces, and you know that's been proven pretty right over the years to get anything out of the game. Whereas I think against Liverpool, the way to get anything out of the game is the opposite, is to do what most teams do to City, which is sit really deep and try and counter attack. I actually think this Newcastle team have almost got a bit too much swagger and confidence to do that. I think, and Eddie Howe's almost that manager who says, look, we play this way, we might adjust a little bit, but this is how we play. We need to get used to playing this way, so that we can beat other teams. Last thing you want to do is go from that to that to that to that all the time. So I actually do think playing them now might suit us a bit more, because they'll play, they'll attack us, they'll push up the pitch, trip A, or go into the space and leave a bit behind them. So it might actually benefit, as long as we're at it, playing against a team that believe that they can do a bit more than they have done previously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. And we have mentioned all those injuries. We're still at time recording. Jürgen's about to do his press conference, so we'll hang fire on talking too much about Liverpool side as best we can. But at some point, we might have to discuss it based on training and pitches. And so, but yeah, what we do know now is the Newcastle team. So when we're doing our Betmate integration a bit later, you guys know you have to pick at least one Newcastle player. You've got an idea of who's going to be fit and fire. And speaking of the old Betmate, can we have a little look? Si's going to bring the table up now of how we all got on last week. And it's fair to say Chris Pajak absolutely smashed it out the park. Went and won himself £45. He did. It was maximum of two players. It was the whole Premier League, because it was a 3 o'clock kickoff. So yeah. So as you can see by the league table there, Chris is now top on 168 points, followed by Redmen Guest, which is obviously the combination of all the guests who do these build-up shows, including Dan and Sam themselves. Then it's Paul, and then bringing up the rear is me. I haven't won a penny. I haven't even placed once. I'm 3 points behind. I need to get things right later. But when I be picking my team, I might have thrown a few spanners in the way. But yeah, if you want to get involved, we'll be showing you our teams later, and the guys as well. So yeah, keep an eye out on the Betmate stuff later on. But yeah, I've got work to do. I've got absolute work to do. Speaking of which, I've got some work to do in terms of clearing my throat, because they are COVID Rona. So before we take this quick break, I'm going to pose a teaser trivia question. You guys as well, and all you guys watching or listening live right now in the old YouTube section. We referenced before the 3-1 game. Liverpool beat Newcastle 3-1 last season at Anfield. Mo Salah scored and Trent scored for us. Do you remember the absolute worldie? But do you know who scored Liverpool's other goal in that game? So it was Salah, Trent and one other player. Let us know in the live chat after this break. We'll get to some of your answers and see if Dan and Sam know as well. So yeah, see you in a second. Hey guys, it's nearly the end of August, which means we will soon be doing our Club Legend prize draw. This month's prize is this amazing framed, signed, shared by none other than Liverpool's European Cup winning captain, Mr. Phil Thompson. If you want to be involved in this prize draw, all you got to do is be a Club Legend subscriber on Red Men Plus. If you've never been over to Red Men Plus before, do check it out. Sign up for Club Legend. You'll get access to our Discord chat. You get free merch, you get discounted merch, and of course, entry into this competition. If you're Club Captain over on Red Men Plus, do upgrade to Club Legend and you too will be in the prize draw. Time is running out, so go and do it. Go and do it now. There you go. Welcome back. Yeah, if you want to get involved and win that amazing Seinfeld Thompson shirt, all you got to do is be a Red Men Plus Club Legend. Head on over to redmenplus.com. Sign up as a Club Legend. You get tons and tons of content. And now that we've got two games a week for essentially ever, you get double final words, double instant match reactions, double Oppo previews, get tons of. So basically, it's even better value for money. And like I say, one of the Club Legend perks, as well as Discord chat and all the other stuff, is entrance into that competition. Right then, we asked before the break who scored Liverpool's other goal in the 3-1. So I'll give you Shelby score for them.
Yeah.
This player equalised for us, and then Salah scored, and then Trent scored. Loads and loads and loads of the live chat got it. You guys are struggling.
Good for them.
Van Dijk.
No.
Jota.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jota.
Jota was the right answer. Diogo Jota got the equaliser. Apparently, Jevon says Diogo Jota, it was a rebound from a keeper save.
Ah, right.
But remember, it was on the goal line, and I think one of their lads, they had like a clash of heads, and someone was laying
there. Oh,
like,
oh, yeah, I remember.
And we kicked just off because
Jota just put it in the net, and we'll ask questions later.
But there was nothing really wrong with either of them lads, if I remember rightly. They were playing it on because we scored. Yeah,
they were definitely done well for once.
It only came to me after we'd spoke. I wasn't being a, you know.
Off air, I don't know it.
It came to me afterwards.
I don't know it. Dan, do you know it's Jota?
It's Jota,
absolutely snake sand there. So Lexi, yes, you've got it first. So Lexi, Johnny, Yodis, Charlie all got it first. Dan as well. So yeah, it was Jota essentially when the lads were laying on the floor. So yeah, there we go with that one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Speaking of the Reds then, we know for a fact in terms of training pitches, and like I say, Jäger's press conference is happening around now, so we'll know more. I've got Chloe on standby to text me any more up-to-date information. But what we did see in training, Joel Matip was back in full training. Liverpool announced that themselves. Curtis Jones trained, and Calvin Ramsey was involved at some point as well. There was also some doubts around Harvey Elliott, and we'll get that cleared up. But Neil Jones reported this morning, all is fine. Liverpool were just being precautionary. Yeah. So, well, I'm guessing, I don't know, and we'll speak about our 11s later, Dan, but my guess is not many of those are going to start this game straight away. But what it does do, it gives you an awful stronger bench. You don't have to have two goalies on your bench.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have to have, with all due respect to Bobby Clark, who made his debut.
Yeah.
Stefan Bacetic, who came on the other day, like with all, again, the young kids, you probably would be maybe better off going and play 10, 23 games. Okay, the 11 might not be good, but we're starting to filter in the bench back a little bit. So you're looking at your options and you're thinking, actually, I've got more than three subs to change a game. I've got Curtis, or you know, maybe if Ramsey is what he's meant to be, or you know, even like, well, we need to be a bit more progressive. You can even bring Joel Matip on to be more progressive at centre back. Even it looks, which isn't a mad thing to say, but
no, we're trying,
it does feel like things are starting to turn around on the injury corner. Touch wood.
Yeah, definitely. And having campaigned for five substitutes for so long, Jurgen Klopp's kind of been, well, he hasn't been able to use them, has he, quite frankly? Saturday was nice, obviously, because the game was put to bed nice and early, so we could give them young lads a debut and almost reward them for being part of the squad, because you said there, like, they've been getting pulled out of under-23s action, whether they play, like, 45 minutes, and that kind of gives you the indicator that they're going to be part of the matchday squad. But they shouldn't be, you know, all due respect to all of them. Bajetic in particular, brilliant in pre-season, not ready to be involved in Premier League matches. Be nice, Bobby Clark, if he did obviously get a game against Newcastle with his dad playing for him, but realistically, it's not where we need to be. Same with two goalkeepers. So having those three you just mentioned back, and I can't see any of them starting. It's too soon for that, particularly Calvin Ramsey. But if you put them all on the bench and just got them back involved in the squad and reintegrated, especially Ramsey, having not been so at all since he signed for us, that would be a huge boost. And it just fills us with that little bit more confidence, because I think we all, watching the United game, we all looked at the bench and thought, what do we do?
Well, we had no way of changing it. We all knew what subs. All he could do was get Carvalho on, probably get Kostas on, because what else?
Like for like, there was not a new
Fabinho, yeah.
I don't want to bring it up, because we put that to bed now and it's long since done, but obviously with these subs coming back, it does just give us those options. It does probably pleases Jurgen Klopp more than anything else. Let's say he clearly wants five subs, but they've been pointless to us for these first few weeks. Now, all of a sudden, we've got options again.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's go through a couple of them then. Curtis Jones is the one, isn't it, really? Because it felt like this was his opportunity. Sometimes opportunity just knocks in strange ways, and you, I've got a couple of lads get injured, so oh my God, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Because I imagine, and I might be wrong, and it might have changed now, by the way, and we'll speak about this, is that he was ahead of Fabio Carvalho in the pecking order. Now, if Jürgen's looking at the bench on Saturday and needs a goal, he's probably thinking, probably Carvalho might have usurped him now. Curtis has got some work to do. He was already, he'd fallen below Elliot. He might have fell behind Fabio Carvalho now, so as and when he can get a chance, Sam, he has to pull his finger out. And he's the senior of those three players, but in terms of the pecking order, excuse me, he's probably at the bottom.
Well, do you know what? In the last two seasons, he's been given an opportunity, came in, and he's really took it, in my opinion. Last autumn, I thought he did really well, so he got that weird eye injury. I really want him to put the doubters wrong as well. So, for me, he's the big one on this list, as you say. And also, it's the big one because all I hear, everyone going about the moment is about was wanting to buy a midfielder. But I think one of the reasons why that is because people are still not convinced on Curtis Jones. If Curtis Jones came in and did what Harvey Elliott's doing now, I think it would ease a lot of people's fears. So I think this is a massive opportunity for him. If he's fit enough to get some minutes the weekend, comes on, looks sharp, then who knows what comes from the next games, because some of these lads, like Henderson and Fabinho, are going to need resting again, less so Fabinho maybe, but Henderson's probably going to need a game out at some point because he's played too much. So this is his opportunity. And listen, I'll say this about every footballer that's ever existed, maybe Phil Foden, but that's just Man City all over, is all the best footballers have came into existence from the academies to the first team when there's been an injury. It's the chance.
It's a bit of luck in here.
Trent, everyone, Gerrard, they all did it. Something happened, you got in and you stayed there. And this is another
Harry Kane did that, I suppose, didn't he? Marcus Rashford did it at Man United, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And moving on to Matip then. I think I did the starting 11 predictions, if anyone watched it, and I didn't pick him because I think he's going to want more than that. But I think at some point Jürgen's going to want him back in. Maybe the derby is the chance, Dan. Mm-hmm. But if he has two full training sessions, and if Jürgen thinks he is miles better than Joe Gomez, and we don't know this, but he was ahead, we know for a fact he was ahead of him in the pecking order. He was starting ahead of Konate at times, but we don't know. But there's a chance if he can get through a Monday session, a Tuesday session, and maybe a little something on Wednesday, I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that Matip starts.
No, it's definitely not, because like you say, I think he definitely is, alongside Van Dijk, the chosen two of the pecking order in the central defensive department. But for me, I just think it's similar to what we spoke about with Newcastle earlier. Is it a risk with Joel Matip? We all know his track record for picking up injuries. Granted, it was a hell of a lot better last season, and we all lauded him for that, and rightly so. But again, do we want to take that risk ahead of the derby and ahead of three fixtures a week with Champions League coming back and all that sort of stuff? It almost comes back on ourselves. I just don't see Klopp. I think in an ideal world, tomorrow we get ahead of the game, Matip comes on for the last 20 minutes, and maybe then he's in line to start the derby. But I take your point entirely, because Matip is definitely ahead of Konate, who's obviously not available, and Joe Gomez in the pecking order. Joe Gomez, similar to what we said about Curtis Jones, you know, he's done okay since he came into the side, but again, tomorrow night will be another opportunity for him to say, I don't care who's fit, I don't care that Matip's back in training, I'm starting. I'm starting this game, I'm going to do brilliantly, we're going to keep another clean sheet, and then I'm starting the derby. He's got just as big an opportunity here as Matip has of getting back into the side.
Yeah, and Steve Rather, one of our club legends, he thinks Gomez will start, and he probably will. I tend to agree with Steve, but Dan's right there, Sam, is that if you're looking over your shoulder at Joe Gomez now, you're thinking, well, I kicked him out the team once before, and I didn't let him get back in, and then it's been reversed and whatever. Jürgen, we know he'll stick with the hot hand. He's not arsed. He'll just pick. If he thinks Gomez is playing better, he'll carry on playing with him. This is almost Joe Gomez's last chance to nail it. Because I think he's been good.
I think so.
He's been decent, but he has. He's not. You're not sitting there going, you cannot drop him for Joel Matip. I'm still thinking, probably get Joel Matip in. But if Gomez can steal the show again against what could be a potentially decent Newcastle attack, then he's got every chance of starting that derby game. And then you look at Napoli, and then it rolls and rolls. Similar to Curtis, Joe's in a very similar position.
Yeah, he is. And we've always said it, and we've been on these shows over the years, that Gomez needs a run of games to get himself fresh and ready and in rhythm. And he feels like he's got that now. He was sharp against Palace when he came on. Unfortunate not to start that game. I thought he was okay against United. Maybe there's one challenge he could have made a bit harder in when he hit the post. But other than that, I wouldn't put him to blame for anything that went on in that game around that. And he was really good again. I think I would have been all right centre half for us the weekend. But even still, he did his job. He did well. He's now in rhythm. He's now back working with Verge, and they know where each other are. We all know that they just really enjoy playing next to Gomez, and them two have been our best partnerships statistically over the years, haven't they? So, you know, Matip's got a job on his hands now, and, you know, I'm really happy for Joe Gomez. I really want him to get going, because if Konaté and Gomez are the future, Gomez has got to play as many games as Konaté is playing, otherwise you become irrelevant.
Yeah, we'll see how that one pans out. Let's move on to, in fact, before I do so, up midfield, I think Jäger might have threw us one there, because Kostas Tsimikas did all the press this morning for LFC TV and stuff. Like, I put him in my 11 in my prediction, because I was thinking he doesn't want to play the same team three times on the run. Options are quite limited in where you can and can't rotate. Left back's just an easy one. If he wants to just look after people, I actually think now, I think Kostas is going to play, Sam. I don't know what you think.
It makes sense, because he's been getting minutes in every game pretty much, hasn't he? Did he come on against Fulham? I can't remember.
He's come on every game.
So he's fresh, he's ready. He was chomping at the bit last year. He's a good player.
Did he get two assists? He was injured for the first
game. Oh, he was. Did he get two assists at the weekend?
Yeah.
Got two assists. You know, he's a threat. So quite clearly there, he's putting his name forward. And I think of all the positions on the pitch that we've got depth in at the moment, the one position you'd probably say is the most interchangeable with the injuries we've had has been Kostas and Robbo. You can't keep grinding Robbo. We've got Everton away and Napoli away to come. You want him for them two games?
Yeah, I think
I'd have him in. Yeah,
I think he is going to start. Let's move on to midfield then. This ties into a super chat we've just had. Sorry, a members chat from Ashley Friff, who said, I think that Carvalho and Elliot should start at Newcastle with Fab in the six. I think the energy would be good against a very confident team. Now, I can't see a world where they both ever start, especially if there's a little doubt, because I think you're going to get one. I don't think you're ever going to see the both of them at the same time, really.
No.
But if there is any concern about Harvey, and we're not sure, again, rightly so, yet where we're at with it, but I think if anyone deserves a place in the team, Carvalho, Dan has done nothing wrong when he's come off the bench. He's, again, albeit in cameos, he's done well. Like, again, I wouldn't be against him starting if again, you've got to look after players with game with Derby, Napoli, and games to come.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked. In fact, I would be quite encouraged if Carvalho got a start.
Yeah, he would be in my starting 11 tomorrow night, 100%. Yeah, I've been really, really impressed with him since the start of the season. That's not to say I haven't with Harvey Elliott as well, because he's actually been my standout player so far this season, to be honest. But yeah, I think if there is a game when you're going to bring Carvalho in for that start, I think this is it. For everything we've sort of outlined, with Newcastle having some issues themselves, and we're on the back of that resounding win, similar with the Tsimikas and Robertson thing, I would start Tsimikas, and I do think the club have essentially told us that would be happening with all the press duties that have gone on. And I think there's an opportunity here to bring Carvalho in for Elliot. There's clearly something, because obviously Elliot comes off at half time against Bournemouth, and that wasn't pre-planned. I'd be very surprised. There's clearly something going on there, and then we've seen him slightly sit out of a little bit of training. So again, it comes back to why risk him. You both mentioned it. You've got Everton, you've got Napoli, and then you've got a full schedule thereafter. Why risk Harvey Elliott? He's quite clearly one of our most important 13, 14 players. There's no point. We've already seen him have a horrific injury. Granted, it was an impact situation last year. You don't want anything to happen to him. Keep him at the firing line. And Carvalho has already proven to me to be well worthy of this start.
And then front three, kind of, we know the front three is the front three. Because again, Jota is apparently getting closer, but he's not there yet. This is the last game of obviously Darwin Nunes' suspension, so we know he therefore can't play. we'll see him at Goodison Park.
That's another reason, sorry, why it's really good that we've had back-to-back games, because when he first got that red card against Palace, I was thinking 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks, he's going to be out for out. But actually having this bang, he can look at Everton now and be in that mindset, obviously support the lads, which is great for us, by the way. Sorry to interject there.
No, I think it's a spot on. I wouldn't be shocked if he starts that one. Right, with all that being said, then we're going to have a little look at our Betmate stuff. So Dan, if you want to start loading up, we're going to get you guys to pick what you think.
Okay.
Have you done one? Yeah, I don't think you've been on one of the shows where
I haven't.
I know you play at home a little bit, don't you? So you know the score. So essentially, we're playing this week in the £5 pot. It's Newcastle, Liverpool versus Newcastle, £5 pot. And you guys are going to pick your 11s. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, you say pick 11. Pick your 7.
There is 11, 7 and 4.
7 and 4. What we're going to do, you have to have at least one Newcastle player. It could be more. You don't have to have. You can have as many as you want. It's a 5-6 split across your starting lineup and your bench. I've picked my team, by the way. Pajak's done his and Paul's done his, but you guys go in goal. Are you going to go with Liverpool's goalie or Newcastle's goalie?
I think we've got to.
Yeah,
we've got to go.
Back the clean sheet, haven't
we? Yeah, clean sheet all day.
Defence.
Trent.
Yeah, we're flying here, by the way. I would be Trent as well. I don't think there's an alternative. Tsimikas? Well, you could probably start.
Yeah, we could. Are we going to go with one of Newcastle's fullbacks as well, or are we going to go with...
I don't... Oh, Trippier. If they are going to do anything, goal or assist wise is probably going to come from Trippier.
But could we put Trent and Trippier in? Can you do that?
Of course you can.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's your Newcastle player sorted. Anyway. You can have a full Liverpool midfield now. Or you can go for more of them if you absolutely want to.
Okay. So, midfield. See, jumping ahead of my 11s here, I think this might be a game we might rotate Henderson out.
Okay.
So, me personally is, I think it'll be Milner for Henderson this week.
Oh, right.
Assuming Elliot's fit. But
did you want to put Milner in?
No, I wasn't. I'm ruling Hendo out of the pick.
So put Fab in.
I'm not picking Fab. Don't think. Yeah,
Fab gets loads of tackle and interception points.
Yeah, you do get points for that. Yeah,
okay.
He doesn't just goals and assists.
What about are we gambling Carvalho or Elliot? Or
the good news is, by the way, just to let you know, you can change this team right up to kick off. So if someone doesn't play, you can give us a little shout, give us a little text.
I would be all in on Carvalho, because to the point made on the Discord, I don't see Carvalho and Elliot starting any game of football together, let alone this one.
Okay.
I would be Carvalho, yeah?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. And then we'll change the captain that in a minute, but you don't want Henderson, right? So you're Milner.
Or Fab.
Fab. I think Henderson's going to sit this one out just because we've got the derby the weekend and he's played every other game.
Yeah, that's fair. And then
strikers.
Mo Salah's coming back hard.
Diaz
He's
or
not
Bobby.
Happy.
Diaz or Bobby. Bobby would have had a field day point wise on the weekend, by the way, wouldn't he?
You see that? Someone in the FPL got triple captain. Yeah, right. Dodgy that. Ipidipidu.
Who's Diaz?
I think Diaz.
There you go. Then, so Dan, you can carry on filling the bench and just fill for Lucas. Yeah. That's absolutely fine. So, your team then, just to clarify, we're going to go Ali, Trent, Trippier, Carvalho, Fabinho, Diaz, Salah. Who's your captain?
Salah.
Got to be Mo Salah, hasn't it?
Who's your vice-captain, 1.5 points?
Ooh.
I'm happy with that.
Do you know what? Leave it, yeah.
I'm happy with that.
It automatically did it. Little golden assist this weekend for Carvalho. Nice. This week, sorry.
There we go, yeah. So there you go. There's the guys' teams. We'll bring our teams up now. So, Si, can you bring the first team up? I don't even know what order this in. Surprised. Oh, it's me. Look, I'm literally surprised. Look how surprised I am.
Looking at the bottom of the league, that is. That's
my face like that because I'm absolute garbage at this game. But I went for Ali Trent. I went Costas. I've gone Elliot, Joe Linton, Salah and Diaz. I've got Joe Linton likes a tackle, don't he? Gets stuck in.
Does actually, yeah.
So that's my team. Let's move along to the next one. We've got Pajak, who's gone Ali, Trent. No one looks happy, won all that money. Virgil, Elliot, Almiron, Salah and Diaz. Yeah, Chris can change that, obviously, if we know that. If Harvey isn't fit to start. And then finally, is Mate, who's Mate gone for? He's got Ali, Trent, Robbo, Joe Linton, Elliot, Salah and Diaz. Salah and Diaz are in pretty much all of these teams, especially with Newcastle's forward woes. I'm guessing Saint-Maximin would have been in plenty of these had
he been.
If you guys want to get involved, like I say, we're playing this week, so if you click the link in the description or just download the BetMate app from the App Store, whatever App Store that you use, use the referral code REDMEN5 and sign up. Like I say, we're playing the Liverpool v Newcastle £5 pot. There's a £1,000 prize pot there for you. Make your selection and you'll be credited with a £5 free bet at your leisure once you've played that first game. Like I say, gamble responsibly, UK only, 18+. If you're not into gambling, that's fine, don't start because of us. But if this is the kind of thing you want to get involved in, want to have a little go against us, and by all means you're probably going to beat me, then do get involved with us over on BetMate. Right then, you've half hinted at it. We're going to have to come up with some 11s now for the game in general. So I'll give you a second to think while I run before. Again, mine's on the board there, but I've gone Ali, Costas, Virgil, Gomez, Trent. I went Fab, Hendo, Elliot, with the caveat of it being Carvalho if Elliot's not fit. Diaz, Bobby and Salah. Now, you think Hendo's not going to play?
Yeah, I just think the rotation time.
Okay, so it's Fab, Milner.
Yeah, Elliot.
Or Carvalho.
Well,
you've got to be Carvalho.
I'll go Carvalho, but then that's two changes in midfield. Oh, I might be biting myself here.
You can always change it.
I'm going Elliot, but because we've picked that together, I think there's half a chance Carvalho starts. But I just think only plays 45.
He can come off the bench and score goals.
He only played a half, and as long as he's okay, I don't see him why he wouldn't be fresh enough to start. And he was excellent as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was more just about the injury stuff as well. You know what I mean?
Any news on that? Either way, no.
No, as it stands, yeah, we're still
Klopp's waffling.
Klopp's probably just waffling on. So, your team, Dan, what are you thinking midfield-wise?
I haven't really got any question marks in my midfield-wise. I'm going Carvalho pretty much regardless of Elliot's in the situation, because similar to what Sam's saying with Henderson, I think we could do with Elliot being rested for what's to come, personally. So I would be giving Carvalho his chance, especially with Newcastle's problems. I think it's a good opportunity for him. And I'd be Tsimikas But again, regardless of Robertson, I think he deserves this game, if there is such a thing, personally. He's been playing a lot of minutes, he's been coming on, he's been hinting at it. He's on all the press stuff today. He may as well have his kit on now, quite frankly, to be honest.
Stood in the corner. Yeah, he may as well be ready, like.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right then, we've got a couple of Super Chat and members chats I want to get to, and then we'll have a little look around some of the other games. But while we're sticking at it, so Deagle and Shaw with the £1.79 Super Chat, thanks very much. With all our injuries, you still see us winning this one, lads. You're comfortable with this one?
Yeah, this one,
get your scores off yours later, but yeah, you're happy with this one?
Yeah.
Happy with that one. And then, this is a good question, actually. Famous 4-3s against Newcastle. We're all just about old enough to remember these, aren't we? Give or take, we're of an age.
Collymore
closing in, Robbie Father and all that. So Liam Bento, if the exact same amount of energy were to be spent by our players, would you prefer a hard graft 1-0 win or an absolute 4-3 thriller with a last minute goal like days gone by? So
1-0.
Grafted, yeah.
Because I'd want to be winning the game. I don't mind grafting when we're winning. When you're chasing a goal, it's the most nightmare thing, and all I'd be thinking of, we're about 9 points behind. So I'd rather be 1-0.
Alisson, Van Dijk and Gomez are screaming 1-0 in our arse.
Sign
me up for that 4-3 all day
I was at the second one. The Collymore one. I watched at home to remember the iconic commentary, but yeah. I was at the Fowler one, and I remember my dad's mate on a bet Liverpool to win 4-3 again.
No way.
Honestly, and he it was about 150. He won like so much dough on it at the time. Like, don't think he ever told his missus, but I think it's about time, like 20 odd years later.
Yeah.
Probably,
she knows
it's probably too late. He's already spent it if that was the case. Yeah. So let's have a little look then around the league. Obviously, it's a full weekend of Premier League fixtures as well. It's not just Liverpool playing, so loads and loads to get involved with. Around the league, starting with this evening, actually, we've got Palace v Brentford, Fulham v Brighton. Brighton are unbelievable at the moment. Another one that they can definitely go and win. And then Southampton host Chelsea, and Everton looking for their first win of the season. They've got a difficult tie down over in Yorkshire against Leeds United. Managerless Bournemouth for the time being. Obviously, Scott Parker, rest in peace, Cardigan, is now gone. they host Wolves, whether it's a caretaker or see if Sean Dyche is their manager by then, I don't know. City get Forest at home. Arsenal host Villa. West Ham Tottenham could be feisty. Obviously, there's our game against Newcastle, and Man United against Leicester City. Leicester currently bottom.
Leicester at home there, though, aren't they? Yeah,
Man United going to Leicester, but Leicester are literally the worst team in the league at the moment. Every time we do this conversation, everything, unfortunately, has to go back to Manchester City, Sam. Just given where we are and stuff. I thought Forest against Spurs were brilliant from penalty box to box.
Agreed.
He just had a couple of iffy moments in the box, and Harry Kane was Harry Kane, and he just didn't quite have enough goals. But we saw Palace go and cause City some problems. We saw Newcastle go and cause City some problems. But I think it's probably beyond the realm of Forest to go and do it.
No, I think Forest at home are going to be a problem, aren't they?
But
they're
going to
be
City.
It's going to be like when Sheffield United came up, or potentially what we expected Leeds to be. But yeah, I know it didn't work out as much last year. But that kind of atmosphere, tight pitch, you know, they're up for it, especially early on in the season. But I think a routine win, I don't necessarily think they'll batter them, because I think City sometimes like to just control these games and just get through it and not expend too much energy. But yeah, I imagine Forrest will battle with them, but you know, it's one of those games where you look at Haaland and think this is a chance for you to get another three goals, you know, against a weaker team like Palace, where without Zaha especially, I think that's a solid win for them, that two or three goals. But then again, actually thinking about it, City might need to rotate a bit, so you know, it might be a little bit more of a, you know, you might not see Haaland, is what I mean.
I'm looking at the league table. Forrest have played four games, they're five goals in, like say two of those with Harry Kane. They're not the worst defense. I think City are going to win, but I think they might probably have to work for it. Looking at the top of the table, then they're currently the only team with a perfect record is Arsenal, and they host Villa. Steven Gerrard is on the hottest of hot seats. Like, if you had people who had money on Gerrard sacked first, a few at Scott Parker this morning, because Villa are in trouble, and they've got Arsenal, and then they've got City. Like, apparently I saw a stat the other day, is that if Gerrard loses both those games, he's like statistically Aston Villa's worst manager in terms of points won and stuff. Like, he is feeling it. Arsenal should, in theory, go by form, be five from five, but you just never know.
No, you never know, especially with Villa desperately in need of something, like you say, because Gerrard, for me, I spoke on the Around the League show last week. I think he was the one under most pressure. Scott Parker essentially signed his own P45, didn't he, at the weekend with what he said, like, you know what I mean? But in terms of results, I think Aston Villa's results have probably been the poorest. We all know what's going on at Leicester. They're a bit of a sham shambolic at the minute. Like, but for me, back in the last season, Villa struggled as well, and Gerrard desperately needs something here. I don't see him getting it though, and it's whether the owners are willing to put a bit of context in it and say, listen, it's been Arsenal, it's been City, we'll give him a bit of leeway. If not, this time next week we could be having a different conversation about a managerless Aston Villa.
And he's got eyes on this Liverpool job. The last thing he needs is getting sacked by Aston Villa, isn't it, at some point? I mean, it's not a great thing on his resume. It's a tough time for Gerrard.
Unfortunately, in the Premier League at the moment, there's a lot of football clubs that are more ambitious than they're probably the reality, and I think Villa are probably there. And I think that's just you know, they're a victim of their own. He's a victim of his success in Scotland, and if he goes before he's been there for a year, it'll be probably a travesty in the long term. But again, like, as I say, come back to it, you know, Scott Parker going, you know, other managers are going to go. There's a few clubs that probably should sack the manager, Everton and Leicester being two of them. But I don't see Villa personally.
There's no way Lampard's getting sacked either.
But that's the problem, isn't it? Like, why have Villa suddenly got higher standards than Everton Football Club? It just doesn't make any sense.
It's the money, isn't it? You are right, like, but
it's mad, isn't it? But yeah, so
we mentioned before Jürgen's press conference. That will be it's out now. He's doing it now. That'll be on our YouTube channel, on our podcast and apps as well later on. So if you want to catch everything Jürgen said, do check it out. We have Chloe with the press conference reaction show over on Red Men Plus. So I've got you covered. Just found out Jürgen said that Jota is set to Jota can train slightly from Thursday and Thiago only slightly later. So we're talking about players getting on the injury trail, coming back. There's another two potentially who are closer than ever, and they are two big ones.
Is one of them a midfielder?
Thiago. Yeah. There's our new midfielder. Yeah, so they keep an eye on that one as well. But yeah, so like I say, if you want to watch the entire press conference or listen to it, like I say, it is available on the Red Men YouTube channel, or of course on all our podcasting services as well. We got hinted earlier by Ed Egan's comment, super chat, Dan, about scores. We all think Liverpool are going to win. Got a prediction for me?
4-3. No, I'm joking. 3-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, I was going to say 3-0 as well, actually.
I said 3-1 on the build-up for the show. I went and done the Newcastle Fan TV show, so if you want to hear even more of my croaky Corona voice, go and check out the Newcastle shows. I'm on that as well. I've been on everything this week, Paul and Chris. I've had a nice little time off. We are doing the podcast later, and Mitch is back involved for that one. Thankfully, he's well-rested, while I certainly am not. So yeah, everyone, I said 3-1, so I will stick with that. Speaking of me again, watch along on Wednesday night. Guess who's on it? It's me. Yeah, me and Ella will be back in the studio for the watch along. So if you're not going to the game, like I know you guys are, but if you're not going along, press mute on your TVs, sync up to the Red Men watch along. We'll do 100% biased commentary throughout the entire game. So we go live at the Team News Reaction Show. That will be about 7:15. And then the watch along itself, UK time, of course, will be live at 7:45. So if you're sitting on your own and you've got no one to watch the game with, and it's X amount of a clock in the morning, because I know you guys are the best fans in the world who stay up at all hours and stuff, whatever, whoever you're with, don't be alone, get involved. We've got the live chat, we've got the Discord chat for Legends as well, so you can get involved. Also, if you've never done a Red Men TV watch along with us before, do come and give it a try on Wednesday, I promise you. We have lots and lots of fun, and if nothing else, Errol's one of the coolest men on the internet, and you get to have a chat with him for a couple of hours. Well, Sam disagrees. There's a Sam and Errol, honestly, it's a
just jealousy.
No, we have good banter, you know.
You and Errol are like an old married couple, or you just fight all the time. But underneath it, there's real love.
And we only argue about Liverpool, though.
All the time. Yeah. Constantly. Yeah, it's true. He's on a show together, actually, on a debate show that'll be full of the time.
Do it. Let's get a ring.
Yeah. I have a referee in a box. So if you want to come and check us out, do come and check us out on Wednesday. Like I say, the podcast is out later today as well. There is so much content because Liverpool are playing games. There's never been a better time to be involved with Red Men TV, or like I say, Red Men Plus, the subscription service. So yeah, do come and check us out. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to Sam. Thanks for you guys for watching or listening to the build up show. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you so much for that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want more Red Men in your ears, then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video, and if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com, you get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month, exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.